Title of the message is Tender Mercies. Let's look in James 5 and we will read verses 7 through 11. The beginning of James chapter 5, before we start reading verse 7, verses 1 through 6 is a condemnation that James is passing down onto the rich, the wealthy, really those who are persecuting. It has a lot less to do with them being rich and a lot more to do with their characters, mistreating believers and those who are under their power and under their authority, earthly speaking. And so he's laying down woes upon them. In verse 6, he ends with, "You've condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." Now, whenever we get to verse 7, he's talking here to believers. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." He gets back to the brethren. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So we want to look tonight and but tonight and next Wednesday, and I think those will be the two that we find this in. This is the message that I did at Fight of Faith this year. As soon as I got it ready for Fight of Faith, I realized that this message was probably better suited for an older category of hearers. And so I look forward to kind of maybe slowing down a little bit and moving into the passage. As I tried to break the passage down, it became pretty clear to me that what James is doing in verses 7 through 11 is that James is laying out a pattern, and it's a pattern that we can expect to see play out in our lives. It's a pattern that none of us are going to be exempt from. It's a pattern that is a normal part of living, but it's a pattern that can be pretty difficult to move through or to come to grips with if we don't realize what's there. And so there are four words that I want to use to describe the pattern, and then we'll see how that fits in to the passage. Tender mercies is the title. So what is mercy? Pity, compassion, loving kindness, those are all translated from the same Greek word as the word we use, mercy. Obviously, when we get to the end of this passage in verse 11, through Job, he saw what the end of the Lord was, and that was that he was very pitiful, and he is full of tender mercies. So he's full of compassion. He's full of pity. He's full of loving kindness toward his people. You've heard me use this little functional definition for mercy, this unnecessary kindness. It's exactly what Brother Davis described as he was talking about. I don't know why the Lord has been so merciful to me. I don't know why the Lord has blessed me with what he has, but he has, and I'm thankful for it. I praise him for it. That's the unnecessary kindness that we receive from God. It's kind of like the message on Sunday in the sense of what this passage does for us is it helps us think about what we should be expecting to receive from God, and it helps us to think about how it is that God is working in our lives in just a normal course. One of the definitions Horatius Bonar gave for mercy is that mercy is tender love to the miserable and guilty, and it shows itself in forgiving and blessing them. So think about the wording there. It's tender love, affectionate love, that God gives to the miserable and to the guilty. And it shows up through his forgiveness and through his blessings in our lives. That's usually not the setting that we think about putting ourselves in, as far as we're in the category of the miserable. Right? We're in the category of, we know in theory most of the time that we are guilty before God, but to think about mercy working in the backdrop of misery and guilt, and that it shows up in forgiveness and blessing. I got ahead of myself earlier. So here's the pattern that James is illustrating. Four words here: labor, suffer, endure, and receive. Now, James is going to illustrate this pattern three times in verses 7 through 11. He's going to illustrate the normal pattern of life is that we are going to be called to labor, and in those labors, we're going to suffer. And if we're going to continue on and we're going to be faithful in the labors that God has called us to, then we're going to have to endure that suffering and keep going, and then we're going to receive. And the receiving is not just at the end. The receiving is actually what's happening even in the midst of the suffering and in the endurance. And what we're receiving is the mercies of God throughout our lives, in the midst of the labors that he is calling us to and the suffering that's resulting from that. So let's make a few just basic comments here about labor. Well, it is supposed to be on. You know what? It's the same problem I had last time. It's not plugged in. Thank you for saying something. I'm sitting here thinking y'all are following along. Brother Kurt, I know who loves me now.
You're doing great.
Well, I am. The PowerPoint's not. See if it's over here. You're not missing anything except for text, but it would. Here we go. Let's see what happens. There we go. Let's see if that'll go off. Okay, good. Now you can see it. Somebody speak up if it freezes on that screen. All right, so labor. God-given tasks and responsibilities are a normal part of life, right? That happened long before sin entered into the world. When God created Adam, in Genesis 2:15, and whenever God created Adam and Eve, he gave them work to do in the garden. They had responsibilities. Now, something to take note of is that they didn't just come up with these responsibilities. They were responsibilities that were given to them by God. We're all going to have that. Okay? I'm going to have that. You're going to have that. These responsibilities are going to be different in different seasons of life. And when we're thinking about God-given tasks, we're not just talking about an occupation. That's part of it. So we're called to work. We're called to, as far as labors go, we're called to have certain relationships that require labor, right? God-given task to be a, right now in Ephesians, to be a godly husband, to be a godly wife, to parent, to even take care of our aging parents as that season of life comes along. Different responsibilities that come along in different seasons of life, but they all fall under the providential dealings of God in his God-given task to his people. Now, let me make sure that I'm clear when I say that. Not everything that you might take an interest in is a God-given task. Okay? Not everything that you might take an interest in is a God-given task. The God-given tasks that you are given, that you find yourself in, are going to fall under a scriptural framework in the sense of, you know, there's nothing in here that says, Brother Aaron, you need to make awnings and signs for the rest of your life, but you're supposed to provide for your family. That's a God-given task. Sometimes we can just get strung out doing so many things in so many areas that are just not for us. One example I think of with my own self of just the blessing of being able to recognize and the Lord revealing, several years ago when I had the opportunity to move further in to biblical counseling and to be able to leave Northeast and do that full time, and in all that, the Lord just showed me this is not what you need to be doing. And being where I am now, it's even clearer than it was back then. It would have been very, very difficult for me to have quit that, to be able to do this full time as a pastor. And the Lord was showing me back then, you cannot labor faithfully, even as an associate pastor, and do this at the same time. You will not do both of them well. And so you're going to have to decide what it is that the Lord's calling you to do. And so even then, I saw that. The Lord opened my eyes to that out of nowhere, really. And I knew what I had to do. So I like the counseling thing. I still do a little bit of it. But that's not what God has called me to primarily fill my time with. Okay, God-given tasks and responsibilities, normal part of life. There's that Genesis 2:15. Suffering is going to be a normal part of any ongoing God-given task or responsibility. Okay? Suffering is going to be a normal part of that. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. Look, in Genesis 3:16 through 19, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in childbearing and so forth. He says to the man, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Well, who in the world gave the task to women to bear children? God. Who in the world gave the task to Adam to keep the ground, to keep the garden, to work the ground? Well, it was God that did that, right? And so now God's saying, in these tasks that you've been given, in these labors, these responsibilities that you have received from me, it's going to be a normal part of life. That in these things, you're going to find sorrow, you're going to find difficulty, you're going to find frustration, you're going to find stress. That's a normal part of what it means to labor faithfully in a fallen world. Now, it's important that we understand that, because a lot of times we are tempted to pull the escape hatch simply because we're stressed out. This is not a good fit for me because I'm just not happy here. There are difficulties. The grass must be greener on the other side. And then you realize once you make that leap over to the other side that the grass, it still has to be cut. It's just as laborious as, you know, just this, it's the same thing. This is normal. It's not pleasant, but it is normal. Endure. Endurance is necessary for the completion of any God-given task or responsibility. Now, this is a theme in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament too, but it's a theme in the New Testament that will show up again and again and again and again. And it's a pretty major theme for anyone who's interested in being, and that would be y'all, anyone who's interested in being faithful to the end. It's endurance. Look at the passage here in Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of patience. That word patience is our word for endurance. You have need of endurance that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, isn't that backwards to our normal type of thinking? You have need of endurance so that after the will of God has been done, after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Typically we think, Lord, if you'll just intervene and carry me along, then I'll be able to endure. If you'll just show me a sign, then I'll be able to endure. But that's not what the writer of the Hebrews said to the Hebrew Christians here who needed endurance. They needed to endure so that they might receive the promise after. You know what that means? It means that what they were going to be enduring was uncomfortable. It was stressful, frustrating. There was suffering that was along with that. And then receive. Your ability to endure will only be as strong as the motivation and strength you are receiving. Now, in that, I'm thinking about God's mercies here. I'm thinking about where you find your reason to continue on, where you find your strength. Look in Psalm 124. Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Here the psalmist clearly says, if it had not been for the Lord who was with us, we would have never made it. We would have never made it. It's the recognition of that fact that blesses us with strength, that blesses us with endurance. It's the recognition of that reality. And again, this is not just let me remind myself of or try to motivate myself to think of good thoughts or something like that. These are realities. We're not fooling ourselves into trying to think about something that's not actually happening. God is merciful to His people all day, every day. That's clear in Scripture. And so we have to remind ourselves of that at times, and we have to receive strength from that at times. And we will look at that a little closer in a little bit. Okay, look back in James, and you'll see this pattern that we've mentioned. James chapter 5, verse 7, and this is 7b. This is where it starts with the actual illustration. Behold, the husbandman, that's your labor, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That waiteth, that's our suffering. Okay? Now again, when I'm talking about suffering, I'm not talking about, it doesn't always have to be the most tragic event that's ever happened. Suffering can be stress, frustration, things are not the way they're supposed to be. When I'm thinking about suffering, it can be anything from that to major loss. But the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience, there's our endurance, hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. And so we see there's a laborer, there's suffering, there's endurance, and then he's receiving. But it's not until all of this has happened. In James 5:10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord. That's our labor. They were speaking in the name of the Lord. For an example of suffering affliction, that's pretty clear, and of patience, which is the Greek word is our word for endurance. Now, we don't have receiving here, but he's not finished with the illustration. So the prophets, think about that. The prophets who were called by God to preach a particular message to a particular people. Now, if we were to just think in our minds about matter of fact, this is a pretty common thought for people who are trying to figure out what it is that God wants them to do. If God would just reveal to me what He wants me to do, life would be so much easier. Well, for the prophets, it got so much harder. whenever God revealed what he wanted them to do, right? It got very difficult. As a matter of fact, outside of us having a knowledge of God's sovereignty and of God's providence and of God's working and his plan and all of that, most of the prophets were sent on what would look like to anybody else a fool's errand. They were going to preach a message to a people who were not going to receive it, and they were going to go preach it again and again and again and again. And they were going to, guys like Ezekiel, were going to lay on one side for a long period of time to try to illustrate something, turn around and lay on the other side for a long period of time to try to illustrate something. Hosea was going to go marry a harlot to illustrate something to the people. The prophets that the Lord called, who spoke in the name of the Lord, he says, take them for an example of suffering affliction and of patience, endurance. Then he moves on in verse 11. Behold, we count them, that's the laborers, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. I have in parentheses a sufferer, and if you know, it would be fair to call Job a sufferer. The book is all about his sufferings. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Again, this illustration is kind of reiterated once we get to verse 11. We have the laborers. We have them enduring. We have the sufferer. And then we have the end of the Lord. That is the end result. The end goal is not the right word, but the what came to fruition, what we see about God's character at the end of Job's trial, and that is that the Lord is very pitiful and that the Lord is of tender mercy. This pattern that we find James making here is the exact same pattern we can expect to see in our own lives. All of it. The last part is beautiful, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies, that we receive God's compassion, we receive God's pity, we receive God's help and his forgiveness and his blessings. But the rest of it's there as well. And part of the issue that we have, going back to this idea of God-given task and God-given labors, sometimes we get a little mixed up into trying to come to grips with why God calls us to different labors, or why God maybe even gives us gifts in particular areas. A lot of times people have this idea that if I am laboring where God wants me to labor, then the end result is going to be that everybody that's around is going to look and say, man, I wish I could use my gift the way that person uses it. I wish the Lord would use me the way he's using them. Look how well that person is laboring where God has them. I don't remember a time in the Old Testament where a single person said that about a single prophet who had received their mission from the Lord. That never happened then. But somehow, some way, we think that to take upon the responsibilities that God would have us to do means to be very successful. To be very... Now, we baptize it a little bit into a little bit of piety. We're not very successful for ourselves. We're very successful for the Lord. Right? That's what we think about when we think about what God's called us to. And we should want to be good servants. We should want to be faithful in what God has called us to. But the reality is, the labors that God calls us to, so often are those very things that expose just how much we need God. The prophets in the Old Testament would have never made it had it not been for the mercy of God. They would have never made it. You think about any of the functions that you're called to, and how we think about those things. And we've talked about it some whenever we've talked about what it means to be a godly husband and a godly wife. You know, we're called to, in those areas, we're called to some things that we're just not good at. We're just not. That's a God-given task. Wives, submit to your own husbands. You know, there's some natural suffering that goes along with that. There just is. I'm sorry, but every wife in here is married to an imperfect man. And when I say suffering, I'm thinking about, again, frustrations, stress. It could escalate from there. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. There's some sufferings that go along with that. Frustrations, stress, and you go. Those aren't things that we're good at. And so what's the point? Well, we're out of time for tonight. But what we're going to find is that the point in all of those labors is not for us to be turned in on ourselves and congratulate ourselves on how faithful we are and how good we've done. The point is that as we are engaged in these labors, as we face the suffering, as we endure through what God's called us to, that we come out on the other end just like Job did, and we say, "Before I had heard about you, but now I've seen you with my own eyes." The reality is that we taste God's mercy as we endure in suffering like we tasted in no other avenue. Have you ever heard a testimony that was just full of positive things? I haven't. Not one that was worth listening to. One that was just that had no suffering at all, no conflict at all. No, because God does not pull his people. He doesn't make a parallel transfer. He doesn't take us from doing good over here and move us into doing good over here. He reaches down and gets us in the pit and he brings us out. Right? He finds a weak, blind, deaf sinner who is dead and gives them light and sight and the ability to hear and the strength to be able to live the abundant life in Jesus Christ. And that's done as we walk with him day by day by day by day, and as we lean upon his mercies. And we'll continue to look at this and develop it a little more when we come back. So James 5, 7 through 11, labor, suffer, endure, and receive. That's what we're going to be looking at next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us so clearly in your word, and you haven't spoken just about things that you haven't spoken in a way that we can't understand or even relate. But Lord, your word speaks straight into our hearts and in our lives, and so I pray that you'd bless us to be able to see that, to be able to feed on that, and to be able to be blessed by that. Even particularly as we consider James 5, 7 through 11. I pray you would bless us to be able to recognize your mercy in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.